show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me.
Hi, it's Shannon,
Emily,
and Hannah,
and you're listening to
90.7
FM
WGXC
ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we'll hear from Melanie Trimble of the New York Civil Liberties Union about the Equality Amendment, which did not pass the state legislature last week. We'll also hear what's going on around town in the WGXC community calendar, plus the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
After the recent murders of many African-American grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, the March for Our Lives group is organizing protest marches all over the country on Saturday, June 11th. There are two, at least, scheduled so far locally, one in Albany and one in Saugerties, both stepping off at 10:30 a.m. There's more information on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and we'll add other local marches as they are added to the national map.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Roger Hennigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union in a surprise announcement June 7th, third-year students at Hudson Senior High School were granted, quote, instant admission, unquote, to Columbia Greene Community College. The students and their parents were called to a meeting at the school under the pretense of, quote, a symbolic send-off, unquote, before they learned the true purpose of the gathering. Students were then given QR codes that led them to a form allowing the high school to transmit student information and transcripts to the college. Hudson Superintendent Lisa Marie Spindler said the instant admission was important to, quote, create equality and access, unquote. All students who graduate from Hudson High School, including those who receive a career development occupational studies commencement credential, are able to attend Columbia Green under the initiative, Spindler added. The college wants the juniors to take advantage of its offerings, though the main focus is not about students attending this local college, but about pursuing post-secondary education in general, Drummer said. Quote, we mostly want you to continue your education and not be distracted by some of the things going on with the workforce where students are being offered incredible jobs without a college degree, unquote, she said. Quote, we think that's a disruptor. The value of a college education cannot be matched, unquote. 47% of Hudson High School graduates in 2019 plan to attend a two-year school, according to data reported to the State Education Department, a number that dropped to 43% last year, while the percentage of graduates who said they were directly entering the workforce rose from 18% to 24%. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union about the first person convicted in a federal grand jury investigation examining widespread ballot fraud allegations in Rensselaer County. Republican Troy Councilperson Kim Ash McPherson admitted to fraudulently submitting absentee ballots in last year's primary and general elections. Ash McPherson, after she pleaded guilty to felony criminal charges in U.S. District Court, could be sentenced up to 12 months in jail for submitting three illegal absentee ballots. An FBI-led investigation has been examining the filing of absentee ballots in multiple elections over the past 2 years in Rensselaer County. There have been subpoenas issued for Jason Schofield, the Republican commissioner for the county's Board of Elections, and subpoenas requesting documents from the Rensselaer County Board of Elections. FBI agents also seized the mobile phones of County Operations Director Richard W. Christ and Jim Gordon, the county's Director of Purchasing. Both Christ and Gordon are political allies of County Executive Steve McLaughlin. Rensselaer County Republican leaders previously told the Times Union that they were unaware of any fraudulent activity by the party during the 2021 elections. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Ithaca attorney Josh Riley has now officially declared his candidacy in the Democratic primary in the newly drawn 19th district. Riley will compete in the August 23rd primary along with farmer and small business owner Jamie Cheney and Out Hudson executive director Oshun Zotique for the Democratic line on the November ballot. Riley, 41, is an attorney in private practice. He launched his congressional campaign last fall in the old 22nd Congressional District. He previously served in the office of late Representative Maurice Hinchey in a junior position opening mail and answering phones. Quote, the congressman was really a role model for me and inspired me in a lot of ways to take on a career in public service, unquote, Riley said. After law school graduation, Riley chose to partner with the American Academy of Pediatrics on a civil rights lawsuit representing children from low-income families having trouble getting access to health care services. He went on to serve as general counsel to then-U.S. Senator Al Franken on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Riley has never held elected office, but he said the upcoming congressional election was the right time to wade into the electoral pool. Quote, I've been out to Columbia and Greene counties since the new district lines, and I'll be up there again next weekend, unquote, Riley said. Quote, with this new district, there are a lot of counties, and I've been in all of them at least once, and in most cases, multiple times. It's been so great getting around and meeting folks, unquote. Environmental protection is a top priority for Riley, as is rebuilding New York's infrastructure and creating good jobs. Democratic Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan will face Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro in a special election, also on August 23rd, to serve out the remainder of Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado's existing congressional term. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Rebecca C. Lewis reports in City and State that after ducking Representative Tom Souza and New York City public advocate Jemani Williams at the first debate last week, incumbent Kathy Hochul turned up June 7th and took fire from her challengers. Hochul currently has several scandals. The $850 million deal to build the new Buffalo Bills Stadium with an off-the-record meeting with NFL officials. a lieutenant governor resigning after being indicted on corruption charges, and a last-minute $10 billion tax break pushed by Hochul and quietly passed by the legislature last week. Hochul's pass A rating from the National Rifle Association was also brought up by Sauzi, who bragged about his F rating. Williams also hit Hochul on the NRA rating. Williams said, and I quote, 10 years ago, I wrote my first report on how to deal with gun violence while the governor touted her A rating from the NRA, end quote. Hochul criticized Sauzi's past support for the Hyde Amendment, which limits the use of federal dollars for abortion care. Democratic consultant Camille Rivera, who works on progressive issues, scored the debate for both Hochul and Williams. Rivera said, and I quote, if Kathy Hochul's goal was to keep the status quo, she did well. If Jamani's goal was to define himself on issues, he did well. Read more about this story in City and State.
Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that a report from State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli's office released June 8th found that most New York school districts are inadequately providing mental health training to staff as required by the State Education Department and state law. The office audited 20 randomly selected school districts and found that 18 of them, or 90%, either did not offer mental health training at all or failed to provide the full complement of training. DiNapoli said in a statement, quote, school personnel are often the first to notice if a student is having mental health challenges, and they need effective training to help them understand the signs and symptoms early on. Failure to do so can have devastating consequences for students, staff, families, and communities. Unfortunately, my office has found much of this vital training is not taking place, unquote. The comptroller audited 20 districts outside of New York City with varying enrollment sizes, with approximately 10,000 total staff members and more than 39,000 students. The comptroller's office included the Coxsackie Athens School District in its audit. It was among 14 districts, or 70% of those audited, that included less than the 12 recommended mental health training components. Faculty and staff working in all of New York's 800-plus school districts must receive every year safety and mental health training comprised of 12 components as outlined by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Under the law, school administrators must develop a comprehensive district-wide safety plan to address crisis intervention, emergency response, and management for staff and students. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that a New England energy company is proposing a 20-megawatt solar facility in the town of Stuyvesant. Stuyvesant Town Supervisor Ron Knott said, and I quote, they still need to go through the planning board process. Our concern for large-scale solar is about protecting farmland and our agricultural community, end quote. The proposal would build a utility-scale solar facility generating solar power and feeding into the electrical grid. Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, these projects will allow us to not just meet but exceed our goal of obtaining 70% of our electricity from renewable resources and will further cement New York as a national leader in the fight against climate change, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, there will be rain and thunderstorms with the temperature high near 69 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with the temperature low of around 53 degrees. And on Friday, mostly sunny with the temperature high near 75 degrees. And Friday night, mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia County.
Tune into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio on WGXC on Thursday, June 9th, including at 11 a.m. It's time for transformational listening with Omar Sosa's work featured. At noon, Brad Monkel hosts the Ear Candy Show, and this week he speaks with comedian Jay McBride and pianist John Elbuz. And at 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, and the hearings are here. They're also here at 3 p.m. on Turn on the News with breaking news that there was a coup in this country. That's at 3 p.m. At 3:30 p.m., tune in the latest edition of Radia that's focused on insomnia. 7 p.m., it's time for Movies on the Radio, live from Philmont with Keith Iverson and the Philmont Media Project. At 8 p.m., we tune in the first hour of live coverage of the January 6th committee hearing live from Washington, D.C. Then at 9 p.m., we go live to Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and his Disco 3000 show. 10 p.m., we're live from Hudson with the Magic Stranger show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The 14-piece Hudson Valley-based brass band Brasskill performs on June 17th at the Opus 40 landmark location in Ulster County. The massive earthwork by Harvey Fight is hosting performances all summer, and the Brasskill 14-piece Hudson Valley Brass Band is one of those. They're performing at around 5:30 p.m. on June 17th. You can find out more information about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles, and if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 9th. Early morning lows range from 54 degrees in Mackey to 62 in Hammertown. Soil temperature is 62 degrees. A rainy morning lights up around noontime, and a high of 74 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight will be dry with a low of 54. Friday is looking nice with a high of 78 degrees. 55 degrees overnight takes us into a comfortable, if moist, Saturday. Rain is expected most of the day, along with a high of 71 degrees. A little break in the rain overnight as temperatures fall to 56 degrees. Sunday, back up to 74 with more rain in store. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:36 a.m., then high tide at 10:39 a.m. Low tide again at 5:55 p.m., then high tide once again at 11:37 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:15 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see a mid-latitude coronal hole is releasing plasma due to collide with Earth next Wednesday. Solar wind speed is currently 303 kilometers per second at 12.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 30 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 0. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter W. Bone of Gilboa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music picks and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m., every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with Music for the Masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Next, from 2022, this is Horse Girl with Anti-Glory from the album Virgins of Modern Performance.
Thank you.
Next, from Tampa, hip-hop group They Hate Change. This is the song Perm from their 2022 album Finally New.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
And he went to there and shot my teacher and told my teacher goodnight and shot her in the head. And then he shot some of my classmates and the whiteboard.
Robb Elementary School student Mia Cerrillo testified Wednesday before House lawmakers on how she survived the mass shooting by smearing her classmates' blood over herself and pretending to be dead. The House Wednesday voted 223-204 to pass a package of gun control bills following the shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. Zanita Everhart, whose son was killed in the mass shooting at Tops Market in Buffalo, New York, also testified.
I continuously hear after every mass shooting that this is not who we are as Americans and as a nation. Hear me clearly. This is exactly who we are.
Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Wednesday a group of investigators will review the police response to the mass shooting in Uvalde.
The review will culminate in a final report, which will include our findings and recommendations, and it will be made public.
The House has passed a resolution condemning the great replacement theory, less than a month after a gunman who reportedly espoused the racist conspiracy theory fatally shot 10 black people in Buffalo, New York. Ohio Congresswoman and chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Joyce Beatty.
We stand here united. We stand here representing our diversity because we understand that that diversity is our strength.
The conspiracy theory claims there is an effort underway to replace white Americans with people of color. Vice President Kamala Harris addressed the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles Wednesday. She talked about addressing the root causes of migration in the Northern Triangle and said the focus should be on empowering women who face poverty and violence in their home countries.
From Canada to Chile, a prosperous region benefits all our economies and creates more opportunities for our people.
A California resident has been charged with attempted murder after he told officials he wanted to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The suspect, 26-year-old California resident Nicholas John Roski, was arrested near the justice's Maryland home. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the day's radio news. Andrew Jones reports for Space.com that astronomers have discovered a second persistently active fast radio burst. There have been about 500 fast radio bursts, intense brief flashes of radio frequency emissions lasting for milliseconds, found since the phenomenon was first discovered in 2007. But only 2 are associated with a persistent radio source, and this one is within the fringes of a dwarf galaxy nearly 3 billion light years from Earth. What causes these highly energetic transmissions is a mystery. Astronomers guess that the average free radio burst releases as much energy in a millisecond as the sun puts out in 3 days. Most use radio frequencies around 1400 megahertz, while a few have been detected at lower frequencies in the range of 400 to 800 millihertz. Quote, the big surprise for me was realizing that the new FRB seems to be such a perfect twin to an earlier discovery, unquote, Casey Law, an astronomer at Caltech, said. Quote, perhaps some would have preferred to say that the first such association between an FRB and a radio source was a coincidence because it was hard to explain. Now, the second example shows that this is a real and critical part of the life of an FRB, unquote. D. Lee of the National Astronomical Observatories of China and lead of the Commensal Radio Astronomy FAST survey, which detected the latest fast radio burst, told Space.com via email, quote, I personally favor an evolutionary picture in that all sources repeat, but the activity levels drop precipitously as the source ages. Since FRB 2019052 05B is only the second of around 500 known FRBs to have so-called PRS counterpart, and both are extremely active, they could, in this hypothetical evolutionary picture, represent FRB's youth, which lasts not very long, unquote. Read more about this story at space.com and read more radio news at wavefarm.org. Next is 2021 new music from Stereolab. The song is called Dimension M2. We'll be right back. and we're tuning in all the local events and things to do on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. You can even add your own event there and have it read on the radio. Just click on add an event and fill in the blanks, and soon enough someone will be reading your event on the radio, and people around the world will see it online in WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org. All weekend long, there is performances of the play 14 Funerals. It's the latest from Eric Peffinger, and it's at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The times vary from 7:30 evening shows to matinees, depending on what day it is. Check the WGXC community calendar for more details. Friday, June 10th, there is a community talk at the Lightforms Arts Center on Columbia Street in Hudson. Who We Be, Roots and Remembrance, a community talk exploring the history of black life in Columbia County, is the further explanation. That's at 7 p.m. at the Lightforms Arts Center, Friday, June 10th. Also Friday, June 10th, Smoke Bellow from Baltimore and Australia, the Sun Watchers from New York City, and Lua from Kingston all perform at Tubby's in Kingston. They say shows get underway at 7 p.m. at Tubby's, but I would guess after 8 is more likely. Glens Falls House has another weekend of performances and DJs and more. It's called Stream Informer this weekend. That's in Round Top. Saturday, June 11th, the March for Our Lives group is having protest marches all around the country. And locally, there's an Albany march at 10 a.m. and a Saugerties march at 10:30 a.m. so far. There's a link on the WGXC community calendar to the link for the national locations of all the March for Our Lives anti-gun violence rallies this weekend. In Coxsackie, the Breezy Lawn Farm has a grand opening at noon on Saturday, June 11th. That's grand opening of their Equestrian Connection Experience and Hooves for Hope that work primarily with horses and individuals with disabilities. It's from noon to 7 p.m. in Coxsackie at the Breezy Lawn Farm. Then at the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale, Frenchie and the Punk and the Dust Bowl Fairies perform. Saturday, June 11th, that show is, and there's also a film screening in Athens, the movie Thirsty from Lisa Thomas, an Athens resident, screening at the Athens Riverfront Park beginning at around 8:30, or more likely when it gets a little darker. These are just some of the events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Go there to find out more things to do in your community. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We've asked Melanie Trimble, who is the regional director of the New York Civil Liberties Union Capital Region Office, to join us to discuss the failure in the recent legislative session to pass a constitutional amendment, or at least start the process for the New York Equality Amendment. Melanie, glad you could join us. And maybe we could just start off, you know, what was the Equality Amendment and why was it so important?
Well, Mark, thank you for having me. I don't know. People probably remember who are close to our age attempting to pass an Equal Rights Amendment across the United States. And that was an effort that occurred in the late 70s, early 80s, and failed because there weren't enough states that would ratify the amendment to the U.S. Constitution. At that time, New York State talked about developing their own Equal Rights Amendment to protect women's rights within the state. And it is quite clear that the national government is moving in a different direction than the population in New York State would like to see as far as equal rights and equal access to reproductive health care, end of life care, and so on. And so this Equal Rights Amendment is very timely. We feel it's got a very good chance within the legislature, although some problems came up in the drafting this at the end of this legislative session. And we're hoping that at least they can vote the Equal Rights Amendment up in the Assembly and the Senate for this session, because it has to pass the legislative session both in two consecutive sessions with an election in between. So, you know, we have an election for our elected officials in November. If we can pass the Equal Rights Amendment before the end of August this year, it will then go before the legislature next legislative session in the spring of 2023, and then be voted on in the fall of 2024. If we don't get it done now, it won't become part of our U.S. Part of the New York State Constitution until I think it's 2026, which is far too long. We've already waited long enough to enshrine equal rights for women, people with disabilities, gender confirming care, all those rights need to be protected in New York State. We've waited way too long. So we hope that when the legislators come back for a summer session, hopefully the governor has said that she will do so. We hope to see this measure passed so that we can protect the rights of many, many, many New Yorkers in the U.S. Constitution. In the New York State Constitution.
Now, reading this news article, it did say one of the impetus for the amendment, which you may have mentioned, was the leaked Supreme Court draft opinion, in which it appears that the United States Supreme Court is given serious consideration to overturning Roe v. Wade on, you know, reproductive freedom, right to abortion. How do those two tie together?
Well, the text of the leaked opinion, which is not official yet, actually threatens the rights that we have in the past been afforded to the LGBTQ community, to women, and to people with disabilities. So this is really crucial that we protect the rights of women. We know the Supreme Court in this leaked draft has alluded to other rights maybe being fallen away because of the legal reasoning in the brief. And, you know, we want to make sure that we protect those rights across the entire state and across all communities. So that's why the Equal Rights Amendment is so important in looking at the way the leaked draft is formulated in order to protect further rights that may be infringed upon by the Supreme Court subsequently, you know, so.
Now, I understand that one of the obstacles or objections that were raised to the proposed amendment was that particularly some religious organizations, I would have guessed off the top of my head, Catholics, were concerned that this particular amendment would, you know, undercut their ability, for instance, to say we're not going to pay for abortion services for our, you know, employees. Mm-hmm. How serious is that religious concern to this proposal?
Well, it's actually quite serious. The concerns that the religious community has raised is really moot as far as this particular constitutional amendment goes. That the religious rights are already protected under the New York State and U.S. Constitution to the full extent that is necessary to provide that people can follow their own conscience and follow their own religious edicts. There is no prohibition against people practicing their religion in any way, shape, or form. And so it is not necessary that those religious concerns be involved in this constitutional amendment. And that's the position of the advocates for for this constitutional amendment.
Now, you know, the New York State legislature is totally dominated by the Democrats. They have a veto-proof majority in both houses of the state legislature. Of course, the governor is a Democrat. What was, you know, why can't the Democrats, because if you read their commercials, you know, they're so progressive on equality issues and other issues. And yet when it comes time to vote, they seem to back off a bit. What's any idea what the real problem is here? Besides, you know, the Catholic Church.
I think it's very vexing to most advocates to try and understand, because at one point they're saying, yes, they fully support women and women's rights. So does the governor. What is the roadblock here? I personally think that the legislature rushed to do a lot of things at the end of session. It was a very confusing session for most people. It was the first time with a governor that has not been fully elected by the electorate of the state. She is immediately running for her office to be elected. There are all kinds of issues with redistricting, so that politicians don't even know how easy or difficult their races are going to be in November. It disrupted the primary process in New York State. So I think that there were a lot of factors that the legislature was facing that interfered with them doing everything that they ought to have done this legislative session. There were a lot of things that fell to the wayside. We hope that they will come back once they have gone through the primary season, which ends at the end of June. Perhaps they can come back and make a decision.
I would just mention, actually, the state Senate primary is now, I believe, August 23rd. Do you want to mention a couple of other issues that you guys in the Civil Liberties Union were particularly interested in and didn't pass? And if people want to keep track of what Civil Liberties Union's up to, how best can they do that?
Well, one big disappointment, and I think that's important to this area, was that we were not able to get New York for All and Dignity Not Detention passed to protect our immigrant communities, particularly when we look at this summer season where seasonal workers are coming here. And even though documented, they do get harassed by police. Those two pieces of legislation, one, the New York for All, would have protected people from local law enforcement trying to enforce immigration law, which disrupts a lot of our communities, particularly during the summer. And then also the Dignity Not Detention Act, which is one that would prevent local law enforcement, local sheriffs and jails from incarcerating people who are have questionable documentation. And I say questionable because a lot of people are working their way to keep themselves documented and to get themselves their green card, and yet the process is so complicated and often stood and difficult. So,
well, we're out of time. We've been talking with Melanie Trimble, Regional Director, New York Civil Liberties Union, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.